Hi, welcome to the Mare Talk. Powered by Misha. This is Misha. Hope everybody's fine. And wherever there's the blizzards, the snow's melting for you. Starting to. Getting another one coming Monday. Can't wait. We're taking your phone calls tonight. If you have any questions about the show or for my guest Alex, or if you'd like a quick reading, the phone number is 888-345-3025. Outside the U.S. and Canada, the number is 740-994-0101. I'm Misha. My website is www.tarotbymisha.com. My email is tarotbymisha@aol.com. I'm a certified tarot instructor with the Tarot Certification Board of America. I'm also their current executive director. If you have any interest about certification, all the information can be found on their website. There are 7 levels. It's broken down. And the phone, their phone number and email address can be found on the website as well, which is www.tarotcertification.org. I have Alex Palermo with me tonight. Alex, hey.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great, Misha. How are you?
I'm fabulous. Wishing spring is here, like all the rest of us.
Yeah, we're just as sick of winter in Boston as everywhere else, so yeah.
Yeah, we outdid the areas in New York, too, actually, this year. Let's get started. For those that are not familiar with who you are the owner of the Tremont Tea Room in Boston.
That's right. That's right. The nation's oldest, longest-running psychic salon.
Pretty cool. It's the address for anybody that's out in the Boston area but might not be familiar with it. The address is 101 Tremont Street. And you're on the 6th floor, or is that...
Yep, 609.
Okay. First, let's give everybody a little background about yourself, Alex. What you
and
how you got started.
Okay. I've been doing readings. This year will make 25 years as a professional psychic, and of course I do use the tarot. I grew up in a suburb north of Boston, had sort of a regular life until I was my early teens, and then I realized that I had different abilities, and that when I used those abilities, other people reacted differently. So I think at first I thought everyone could do it. And then when I used them, you know, I saw people's reactions, I realized it made me different or it stood out as something that was a special, a gift, like any other gift, you know. Right. Some people have musical gifts or, you know, artistic talents or talents with numbers. Mine seemed to be with, you know, acquiring information outside of my 5 natural senses. So I took that and I did different things. I did study psychology at one point in case I wanted a quote-unquote normal life, but then I went and studied at the Spiritual Church of England. I got certified as a medium. I was one of the youngest people they ever certified, and I believe the first American. So that's really about the background. I came to the Tremont Tea Room in the 90s, the early 90s. Ended up managing it, and then I bought it from the owner who had originally bought it from the daughter of the original owner, so it only really has ever had 4 owners. The Tremont Tea Room opened in 1936 in the middle of the Great Depression, so we were kind of called into duty. Yeah, it started out as a sort of a tawdry, carnival-like atmosphere, you know, with old lamps and old women, you know, and you'd get a bit of a sandwich and you'd a cup of tea and then they'd read the leaves. It wasn't really, you know... What it is today, it's something that's evolved over those years into a less tawdry, more sort of spiritual, new age type of place. However, we're very different from most new age shops because, you know, most of them will attract a new age clientele. Because of our location, we're right in the middle of downtown Boston's financial district. We attract more of a business clientele, people who probably wouldn't normally see a psychic. And that's kind of different from what I, you know, have seen working at psychic fairs or other New Age shops in the past. You know, our clientele is more of a people who wouldn't probably go out of their way to do a psychic reading, you know, but would go because their friend at work went or someone dragged them or whatever, because we're right in the financial district. And again, I don't think there are many New Age shops that could say like 33% of their clientele are either lawyers or work in the legal field, but we can because we're right in the middle of the, you know, the right near the courthouse, and there's about 150 lawyers. Yeah.
Do you do parties and drinks too?
Like, we do parties, we do corporate events.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we do all that.
You do weddings as well, I see on the website. I want to give out, we want to give out the website to everyone, too. It is
Tremont-TeaRooms.com.
You do...
We don't do weddings anymore because the laws changed in Massachusetts. Yeah, you actually have to be a justice of the peace now. Before, you could just be a certified minister, but they've changed it. You actually have to be a justice of the peace, so we don't perform weddings any longer.
Oh, okay. All right. How long ago did they change that?
A couple years ago. I haven't really taken it off the site. I should. No, we can still do weddings. We can still do weddings, but we can't do it legally. They have to go and have the legal paperwork done first, and then we can just perform the ceremony.
Right. Okay. Right. And you do all kinds of classes there. You're not just, you know, the only psychic. They have, the people have a choice of who they want to see, and they have their own time slots when they're there. And each one has their own specialty as well. One of them teaches Reiki.
Yeah, we have a pretty well-varied staff. We have about 10 psychics right now. About 4 of them are full-time, and the rest of them are part-time, and they make up the rest of the schedule. But on any given day, we have anywhere between 4 and 5 psychics on. On the weekend, sometimes we have more. Sometimes during the week, we might have less, but usually there's at least 4 or 5 psychics on any given day, and they range, they're as interesting as the clientele they serve, actually. They're all very different. I have one that's been there since she was in college. She's a young girl still. I have one that, like I said, is, you know, been there since the 70s, like almost 40 years. You know, I have another one that's a former school teacher. He was a teacher for 15, 20 years, and then he became a psychic tarot reader. I have a very eclectic staff. They're just, like I said, as different as our clientele. They're very artist type, music type. I have one that's about to go for a PhD in psychology. I mean, we just have a very interesting staff. I think they're as much of the story of the tea room as this tea room is itself, you know?
Right. How do you go about deciding, you know, if one of them leaves, or, you know, as you get busier needing more people, how do you decide who you permit to be a part of your little family?
Well, everyone has to go through an interview process like any other job. They're interviewed by a member of my staff or one of my managers, and then they get an interview with me, and I make the final decision. They tell us what hours and days are available, and I try to make a schedule. It's always changing. Even since that schedule I put on the front page of the website was put up there, it's changed since then. I mean, I knew as soon as I put that schedule up, it would change, and it did. It's changed probably about 5 times, you know. They have other things in their life. Like I said, only 4 or 5 of them do this full-time. So, you know, they may have a school semester will bring different schedules, so they have to change their schedule. You know, I have a couple college students. One's an art student, you know. And then, you know, one might be a mother or whatever. They have to take their daughter to swimming on Wednesday, so they can't work Wednesdays anymore. You know, that sort of thing. I have, it's weird. Ever since I've owned it, and I've always thought this was weird, I always say, you know, the tea room only sends me a psychic when I need one. And this past fall, I kept getting all these psychics wanting to work there. I had like 3 or 4 people apply. 2 or 3 people that used to work for me wanted to come back. And I was saying to myself, what kind of business are we going to have that I need all these psychics? I never usually have more psychics than I need. Usually always when one leaves, someone shows up, or someone shows up, someone leaves. And then sure enough, I had a turnover. About 2 or 3 different people left, and then I had these new people come in, and we did some promotions with a local thing called Groupon, and it's made us really busy. And I needed them. But at the time, I was saying, you know, it's the first time I've done it in the tea room. I always kept my faith in the tea room, I say, because it always sends me what I need. But I was starting to wonder, well, I think you're attracting too many psychics. But sure enough, it all worked out.
What we want to point out to those listening that are not in the Boston area, that they're able to get phone readings.
Yeah, that's true. And we have email readings coming soon. We're going to be starting email readings. But right now we do phone readings. We have clients almost in every state. We have clients who call from other countries. We have sometimes we have this client that calls us from Pakistan. And in Pakistan, they're only allowed out a 15-minute call from whatever area she's in. So she has to call back and do the half-hour readings. So she'll have to call back and do, like, the second 15-minute reading, like, a few minutes afterwards. It's just funny, you know, how different areas of the world, you know, are so remotely different. People call from England, and people who move to other states, you know, who once were in Massachusetts, they'll keep calling us on the phone, and they'll refer people. So, and you know, of course, with the Internet, it's been a worldwide explosion. So, and last year I was on CBS Evening News. They did a spot on me on CBS Evening News, and then I did an article for the LA Times that was, like, syndicated in every newspaper in the country. So it brought a lot of business to us. So, you know, it's things like that. It's very much a word-of-mouth business. There is a lot of marketing involved in it, but in the end, it's word-of-mouth that really, you know, it's about how good you do the reading, because every good reading is going to bring three people, you know what I mean?
Right.
And every bad reading is going to turn 10 away. I tell them that all the time, you know? But, yeah, it's really a word-of-mouth business in the end. It's word-of-mouth rules it. But
because that's what most people do. They go,
right.
You know, ask them, friends, do you have a good psychic? A good reader to go to, because, and another reason for that, too, is because there's so many of the con and scam artists out there.
Right. I'm always amazed when...
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm always amazed when, like, I'll see an article in the Boston paper about, they'll say a psychic was doing this, and I'll know where that place is, and it's like, that's not a psychic, that's a gypsy. I mean,
right.
I think almost every consumer, whether they're aware of psychics or not, can tell the difference between a psychic and a gypsy. I mean, you know, I hope that they can, although, you know, I'm amazed. I have people come to me saying, I gave this lady across the street $15,000 and put an egg in the cemetery, and it didn't happen. I'm like, well, what in the hell's wrong with you, first of all, to put $15,000 to anybody, anything?
Right.
You know, does she put an egg in the cemetery? So I'm amazed that how these gypsies and scam artists can fool people. But really makes me mad is when I see things on Dateline where they call them psychics, because I'm like, that's not what a psychic does, you know?
I know.
I think there's a difference. I really do.
Well, I think a lot of what they do is the scare tactics, too.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part, people go and get readings when they're down and out, something traumatic going on in their life.
Right.
You know, unless it's a party type thing or whatever, a night out with
right.
the girls or something like that, they've got something going on that they want answered. And
you know, for years,
they know that, and they work and they feed off of that. And
right.
you know, one of the biggest common things that's told is a curse is put on you.
Oh, yeah, that
was
the...
was put on your family 20,000
yeah.
generations ago, and,
yeah.
you know, nobody ever did anything about it, so it keeps getting worse.
True, and that's how they suck them in and get the money out of them, but, you know, I would hope that most people have more common sense, but then again, I'm amazed when I find people who don't.
I know. I'm going to give out the phone number again, because we're taking your calls tonight. The number is 305. The number is 888-345-3025. Outside the U.S. and Canada, the number is 740-994-0101. For anybody listening in, if you might in the future have some kind of a computer problem and can't get online to hear the show, or maybe you know somebody that doesn't have the internet, you're able to listen to the mix talk through your telephone. I will get the details out to you for that so that you have them handy. It can also be found on the mixtalk.com's front page. how you would listen by phone, you would dial 704-631-4060. Then you would press 1 for mobile radio. Then you press 9. And then you enter at the prompt 3030. And if you missed any of that, go visit themixtalk.com. It's on the home page beneath the listings of all our shows. What is one of the most interesting reads that stands out that you've done?
I don't understand what you mean,
something that just stood out to you because it was just very a wow moment, or something that stood out because it was just so unique of a request?
I have a lot of things, so many things over the years, but I'll tell you a couple things. One is a week before September 11th, every one of my readers and myself were all getting the Ten of Swords in every reading we did.
Well,
and
yeah.
I'm like, I got the Ten of Swords out of 4 out of 5 readings today. What about you guys? Oh, 3 out of 3. 2 out of 3. Oh, 4 out of 4. And we're like, well, how can everyone be having such a bad life? You know what I mean? Like, what's going to happen that everyone who's coming to see us has got the Ten of Swords? I mean, it was just crazy.
Right.
And then,
right.
We all usually, a lot of us are, we'll play the lottery numbers and stuff. And there's two especially that are very much lottery enthusiasts, I'll call them. So for whatever reason, we kept getting like 911, like, let's play it, and we didn't realize it. The next week, on Monday, September 11th, that's when, the planes hit the towers, one of them left for Boston, and we just didn't dawn us why we wanted to play 911 and why the Ten of Swords was everywhere. So I think that kind of stands out as one of my weird stories,
Right,
This is kind of funny. I was reading this woman once. I've been meeting her for years, and this is like probably the fourth or fifth time I've read her, and I said, you know what's odd? As a medium, I never see animal spirits, just human ones. But when I read you, I see animals in spirit, and I don't know why. Do you know why I would do that when I read you? And she says, I have no idea, And then I said, what does your husband do? And I said, what does your husband do? And she goes, oh, he owns a pet cemetery.
That would be why.
Every now and then I'm going to require you to connect the dots,
Right, yeah, because we have to, too, when we're reading.
Right, oh, yeah.
It's putting together a puzzle. It means nothing to us, but, it means something to the client. Now, how do you get everybody gets their information differently? Some get, visions of something. People that do that, the majority of the people tend to say lots of times they'll be shown something that they can recognize from their own life to know it's the same type of situation with the client. Other people get words and stuff thrown at them in their head.
I have had people come to me for reading where I would they reminded me of someone I knew, and sure enough they were going through that type of situation that made me think of that person. So that's definitely happened to me. But for the most part, I hear my pictures, I feel my pictures. Like, I get pictures, but I don't see them, if that makes sense. I hear them and I feel them. That's how I usually tell people. They look at me like I have 3 heads, but I don't see my pictures. I feel my pictures, and I hear a lot. I'm very clairaudient and very clairsentient, but I don't call myself clairvoyant because I don't really see. I feel. And my view of the future is limited, usually from a 3 to 6 month span. I don't have I have some readers that can see for a year or a couple of years. I don't have that ability. So I think that really, why do people come to me? Because, they want the novelty of what's going to happen in the future, and I will predict some things. But for the most part, I think people walk away with a greater sense of who they are now, and I think that's what is really more needed, even though they come to me under the conventional guise of I want to know what's going to happen in my future. They walk away with a better understanding of who they are.
Nothing set in stone, either. And so many people don't realize, the way it is now, if it continues, okay. We can say, this is probably going to be what occurs. But
I believe
whatever the situation is, whether it's you or the other person involved, one little decision to turn left instead of right down the road to get there is going to change everything.
I've always believed and learned through my readings that life is ruled by two forces to me, fate and destiny. And I believe that fate is locked in and will happen. And then I think destiny can change either because of a person's efforts or in spite of them. I think destiny can be predicted just as well as fate. But the problem is for me, and I don't know about other readers, but for me, I never know which one I'm seeing. So I have some people come to me and say, half of everything you said happened, you know, and I'll say, well, did you listen to me what to do about the other half? No, I didn't. Oh, well, gee, I wonder why that didn't happen, you know.
Right.
And then I'll see something that I just know is fated. Is there any way I can avoid this? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't feel that, you know. For some reason, to me, miscarriages are always fated. I can always tell when someone's going to have a miscarriage, whether I tell them or not, almost always. So that is something that, for some reason, just seems fated to me, not destiny. Like, right. They already know when that, you know, sort of cell starts to grow, somewhere in the spirit world, they know that that's not going to come to full term, that cell isn't going to one day hold the spirit, you know? I don't know why, but that's just what I've found, you know?
Right.
I have seen death written in stone and then averted. I have met people who I've gotten through reading them, I get information like, oh my God, you've cheated death. You're supposed to be dead. What happened 7 years ago? And they'll say, oh my God, I was in a car accident, you know? And I always seem to know exactly what the year is that they cheated death. For some reason they tell me that, I have no idea why. So I have this weird, like, chronological sort of gift as well. I can't see too far in the future, but I can see timelines. And I can see how choices affect timelines. It's very odd. I feel sort of like, you know, it's hard to explain how I do what I do. I think if I truly figured out, if they allowed me to do that, I'd probably find an off switch. So that's probably why they won't let me, you know?
Right. How did you get started since you, you know, had the psychic abilities and realized, you know, you were different? Not everybody did what you were able to do. How did you get started and involved with the tarot cards?
The tarot cards came when I went to study with the woman who would become my teacher. She said, you have to use these. They'll talk to you more with them. It'll be a tool, that sort of thing. And I never really got into them. I went over them a little bit, and that was it. But then when I came to the tea room, they said it was a requirement to work there. So that's when I started learning them, and I came back, I don't know, like 6 months later, and said, I can use these now. I know how to use them. So they tested me just like they test everyone else. They gave me I did an interview, and they hired me.
Right.
But, yeah, in order to work there, I had to learn them. And that's basically why I took on tarot. And I have taught tarot classes before. I've taught other psychics tarot. I like the tarot. I still use it a lot. I don't use it so much on phone readings. I don't know why. When I'm in my house, I don't use them for phone readings. I just do phone readings without them, and I have no idea why. But when I'm at the tea room and I do a phone reading, I use them, and I have no idea why. But it's just strange. Yeah. I don't even look for them or anything when I'm home. Yeah.
And you are also able to do mediumship.
Yes, I trained as a medium. It's not something I'm always comfortable with on the phone. But I did train as a medium. I do a seance almost every year. For about 10 years, I did a seance online every Halloween for CompuServe. I used to do an online seance for them every year. It was very well known. People would always show up, a lot of people. I've done them at, Halloween events at, like, hotels and things. Until we moved last January, not this past one, the one before, we moved in January of 2009. Our shop location, we used to have a bigger space, and every year we had a Halloween party. One of the things I would do is a seance at it. And, you know, it was always very popular. It was something I always really enjoyed. But at the same time, it's very exhausting. So I limit my mediumship just because it exhausts me more than the other psychic stuff. But it's not like I won't do it or anything. It's just, it always seems like it's more draining, I guess, is the best way to put it.
outside the U.S. and Canada, the number 740-994-0101. You're listening to themixtalk.com. If you missed any parts of the beginning of the show and are just tuning in, it'll be available for download at the mixtalk.com website and go to past shows, Tara by Misha. You also, Alex, do mediumship.
Yes.
Does that get asked, does that come through when you're doing a psychic reading, or is that something separate where the client comes to you specifically for a mediumship reading?
I do separate mediumship readings where it just focuses on mediumship, because you didn't hear me before, but mediumship's not always something I feel comfortable with on the phone. It's very draining for me, whereas the other type of reading doesn't physically exhaust me, but mediumship does for some reason. So it's something that, you know, I if it comes up in a reading or they ask me about someone, I'll go into spirit. It's easier to do it that way than when they ask me for a whole half-hour mediumship reading. It's very exhausting, but... yeah, and a lot of times I'll be reading someone not trying to do mediumship, and I'll get a message about someone who wanted to give them a message or something. And, you know, it's just, it's something that I learned to do. It was originally what I thought that my whole psychic career was going to be about, but as I did it more and more, I really felt like helping people, you know, to understand who they are in the now and how to do what they needed to do in order to have the future they wanted. It seemed like that became more clearer and clearer. I still do mediumships. I do seances every year at Halloween, things like that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
For 10 years, I did online seance for CompuServe every year for like 10 years up to a few years ago. I've done them at like famous hotels in Boston area. Until my shop moved about a year and a half ago, we used to have a Halloween event every year, and one of the big draws was the seance I did at the end of it. And again, it was very physically exhausting, but it was always very fun and enjoyable. And helping people always feels good.
Let's talk about that for the people out there listening that's never been to one or anything. The seance. A lot of people, when a seance is mentioned, they think of what they see in the movies. The one that comes to my most popular, Ghost, with Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
what is a real seance like?
Well, when we do a real seance, first of all, there's very rarely any sitting down. And we open it with people holding hands, standing up. And sometimes I make them hold hands the whole time, sometimes not. But to open the energy, I have them hold hands. I basically, every medium has to use what's called a battery. And I basically use those people as a battery to enhance my abilities to the other side. So, yes, the lights are out. Yes, there's some candles. There's no crystal ball. There's no tables. There's no, I don't wear a handkerchief or anything, you know. I don't even have my ear pierced anymore, so, yeah.
And when you're doing them, do you call forth specific spirits?
Sometimes I'll take requests, yeah. Sometimes I'll take requests, and sometimes I'll just go over to someone and feel like a spirit around them. Yeah, and I often use what's called a control. It's a spirit that sits between this world and the beyond, and they pass the messages. It's less draining that way. When I have direct communication with the spirit, it's very draining, very tiring. So I try to use a control whenever it's possible.
Right, right. What do you feel, what are your feelings? Everybody has different opinions on it. Ouija boards.
I think that they're the trailer park of the spirit world. I think that they are lowercase entities. No one should ever mess with the Ouija board. About 75% of the hauntings I've ever been asked to investigate or correct have been caused by people playing around with Ouija boards. They are the trailer park of the spirit world, okay? There's no insult to trailer people or anything. What I mean is just think of whatever you can think of as being, like, low on the ladder, let's say, or let's say they're the skid row of the spirit world. You know what I mean? I think that people should stay away from them. I think I don't even think experienced mediums should use them, because you can get a negative lowercase entity attached to you, and I don't think that they should be used at all. And I don't know if you know this, but what makes a Ouija board is the letters and symbols are all spaced within a certain amount from each other. It's one of the most important things, that and the material it's made of. So sometimes I'll see on eBay, people make their own Ouija boards and sell them, like, out of knotted pine, and they're really nice.
Right.
Those are okay, that's fine. Because those people aren't probably following the guidelines of what makes a real Ouija board and the cork board that you're supposed to use. But, you know, people say, well, how can something from Milton Bradley be so bad? I'm like, I don't know. But you know what? That Ouija board from Milton Bradley, you should not have it in your house. You know, I tell people all the time, get rid of the Ouija board, bury it, you know?
It shouldn't be sold in toy stores.
Especially for children. It's like, come here, little kid. Here, have a conduit to a negative netherworld. Let you bring forth a negative spirit that never got over life. Here, little Johnny, play with this negative entity. You know? It's like, what? You know?
I know. I do have to say, though, one thing that you said about the ones that are found on eBay.
Yeah.
That are, like, you find handmade by people from certain woods and things, and you feel those are okay. I have to go back on that a little bit.
Okay.
Because I don't want the listeners saying, oh, okay, the store bought one's not good, but let me go on eBay. You
when
also
I say
have
on eBay,
to be careful with
I mean,
them as well. The reason being, if you've got somebody that is practices witchcraft.
Yeah.
You don't know that they're not practicing and delving into the dark side.
When I say on eBay, what I mean is to buy it as a decoration. I never meant to use it as a
That's why I wanted to clarify that to the list. You don't know who you're getting it from, when they handmade it, what energies they put into it, or whatever they could have done to it.
I have a table in my house I bought off eBay. It's a handmade table, and the top is the Ouija board shellacked underneath this, like, glass thing with tarot cards also etched and burned into the coating, okay? So there's tarot cards and the Ouija board all on it. And when I first got it, people would walk into my apartment and say, I thought you said never use Ouija boards. I'm like, I'm not using it. It's just a decoration. Nobody could get over it. I thought it was the coolest thing. I paid a lot of money, probably paid $100 more than I should have, but it's the coolest thing, and, you know, a lot of people say to me, oh, that has a dark energy. I'm like, well, I don't use it for anything, you know. I cleansed my house. I cleansed it when I got it. But I just think it's cool, and I use it, but I don't use it. You know, I use it as to hold my crystals on. It's like kind of like an altar thing. I put crystals on it and stuff.
We have a caller. We have a caller on the line, Alex. We have Audrey from California on the line. Audrey, hello.
Hi. Who am I speaking to?
This is Misha, and I have Alex on as a guest tonight. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering what you guys see up ahead, coming up ahead for my career.
Okay. Alex, you want to start? I have the cards, so I'm shuffling them. And
you got a couple men?
Yeah, I'm sorry, did you want me to answer? I thought you were going to go first.
Yeah,
I'm shuffling my cards, so I'm shuffling the cards.
Okay. Is it Audrey?
Audrey, yeah.
Yeah.
Audrey, didn't you just leave the job?
It's been quite a long time ago.
When you said, what do you see for my career, I saw you leaving a job. And I didn't see a new one right away, so I don't know if I'm reading the past or what, but I hope I'm wrong, but if you're looking for a new job or a job in general, I don't see any real strong change until the middle of June.
Oh, now this has to do with my TV career, because I'm an actress and a model, I just wanted to see what you see coming in. There's one particular show that I'm really interested in auditioning for on February 27th. It's a pretty big series. It's a reality series. I can't really say the name of it because I got to keep it confidential right now.
Right.
What do you see? What do you see with that?
Well, if this, especially if this starts at the end of June into July, I'd say it's a very strong yes. Like if they start production then, or
sooner than. I hope it'd be starting sooner than that because I don't know. I mean, am I going to be okay financially between now and June? It's only the end of February. The cast.
Are they okay? Here's the thing, Audrey. Are they going to maybe be, you know, started up sooner than that, but when he's getting June, it means that's when it's due to start airing?
Oh, that could be, yeah. It could be post-production and airing on TV.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, but the time frames in between for, you know, getting it going and, you know, when everything...
I think it's either Danny Alex or Alex Danny, the producer. It's either Danny Alex or Alex Danny. I'm not sure which is the first name, but that's his name, the guy that's putting on the reality series.
Okay.
And I'm going to go there next weekend to audition for it.
Okay, well, I wish you good luck with that.
You don't really
get any,
how much
you getting anything else, Alex?
I keep seeing, like, your career, again, I focus on your career, and I see all this orange glow around June, so I have to go with June. I don't know what it means.
I'm sorry. Not until June, huh?
Well, maybe that's what it shines.
I'm getting questionable things with this to myself, Audrey, I have to say.
What do you see between now and June, though, as far as financially for me?
I don't feel like you're going to not have a job between now and then. I do see finances coming in, but I don't see them really exploding until June.
Yeah, and I don't see what's coming along as something that you're going to just outright love. You know what I'm saying?
Right, not until June.
Right, yeah.
Well, maybe I'm just doing little things here and there, little parts
here and there. Yeah, to keep you held over until then.
Not until then.
But nothing
did
that
you think,
is...
When you were shuffling the cards, you said something about two men. Was that something else, personally?
No, I had said, well, I was shuffling if Alex is getting anything. But no, two men did come up. I had gotten the King of Cups, the Knight of Cups reversed, and then the Star Cup, the Star card reversed. So two men did come up, and a cup deals with relationship. It's the water element that the cup deals with. So it deals with the heart. Excuse me?
Is that someone that has left my life or someone new coming in?
With the positions they came out, this feels like it could be somebody that you currently know that you have been pursued a relationship with or, you know, somebody that you had breaking off temporarily with the position
that
they're in.
But we're not going to be talking again, are we? You don't see me talking to him again. You're talking about Michael, right?
I don't get names.
He's a water sign. He's a water sign man, and I haven't heard from him for a month. He dropped off the planet. Do you see him contacting me again?
He might contact you. I don't see it going anywhere with the other two cards being in the reverse. I don't see it going anywhere, but the King of Cups being the first card upright. With the three cards, the first card is recent past into leading into the present.
Oh, yeah.
So there's something lingering there. Are you getting anything, Alex?
To me, I agree with Audrey. Michael's part of the past, not the future.
Right.
Yeah, so I think it's a different guy that you're seeing because, I mean, Michael's so done to me. He's so done.
Yeah.
He's so last year.
He's done.
Yeah. He's so last August. That's what I hear. He's so last August.
Yeah. Yeah, he might want to try to, you know, weasel in and say hi or something, but that's about all it's going to get.
You don't really see him contacting me, though, do you?
I don't.
No.
I think it's over with him. So this other person was someone new coming in?
It feels like they're around somebody that you know that's around you, but hasn't developed that interest to get to know one another better yet?
I don't know anybody right now that's a romantic interest.
All right. Well, those cards came up when you were asking about the job. So, you know.
It has to do with work. So maybe they're going to meet men, and maybe I'll meet them through
You'll
work.
You'll meet them
then.
Through, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean, so I haven't met them yet, maybe. Maybe I'm going to meet them through a work environment.
Right. Yeah.
Through the TV stuff.
Right. Yes, because the first card
is it going to be anything? Any relationship, or?
It's going to seem like it will be, with what I'm getting, but it's not going to be something with what I'm getting that's going to be anything lengthy.
Like a short term.
Yeah.
Short term dating or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got anything else? You got anything else to add, Alex?
The only thing I can add is, again, I keep seeing this project where it's not just actresses and actors, it's also everyday people as well. But there are some, like, actresses or whatever you want to say, Hollywood types there as well. But to me, they're people from all different walks of life, and they might actually be in like, a house together or a living arrangement together, and the focus is about them in this living arrangement. That's what I see.
Yeah, that's the reality show. That's the one probably that I'm auditioning for.
Okay, well,
Oh, and last, maybe it's a date. Is it dating in the dark?
I don't know what it's called. I'm sorry.
It's male and female? Is it male and female or just female?
Nope, male and female.
Male and female.
Then that's probably the dating in the dark. Because the other one that I'm auditioning for is only for beautiful, sassy, you know, women. It's women only. This one is for male and female, the one that you just described, right?
Well, I would definitely apply for that one.
Yeah, I've already applied. I'm hoping that I hear back.
I think you will, especially if they shoot in June. Yeah, especially if production begins in June or if it airs then, yes.
Yeah, hopefully it's before June. My God, that's a long time away. Wow. Okay, well, I don't have anything else unless you guys see something else you want to tell me that I need to know.
That's all I can tell you.
That's all I'm getting to, Audrey. Thanks for listening. You can get a hold of me at my website, which is tarabymisha.com. And my email... I'm Tara by Misha, yes.
Oh, great. I've always wanted to talk to you. This is my first time. Okay. Yeah, I've seen your picture on the mixed talk. Awesome. I see you.
Okay.
You're there. Okay.
And great. You can put me an email. Day. My email is tarabymisha@AOL.com.
Perfect.
And let me know how you made out and what went on with you. Good luck to you.
I should. Thanks so much,
Audrey, for listening and calling in tonight.
Thank you. Okay, you guys have a great night, too.
You too, Audrey. Good night.
Bye-bye.
by, we want to give out your website to, again, Alex, to the listeners.
Oh, yes, okay. It's www.tremont, that's T-R-E-M-O-N-T, hyphen, T-Room, one word, T-E-A-R-O-O-M.com.
And you are located at 101 Tremont.
Yep, Tremont Street, Suite 609 in the heart of downtown Boston.
And for those that didn't hear us earlier in the show or may have missed it, if you're not in the Boston area, you can go to his website and put a phone call in and get a phone reading.
That's right. They can call us.
How many, besides you, how many psychics do you have?
I have about
total.
I have about 10 other psychics right now. And then it's an additional two that are kind of like backups. I call them the floaters. It's weird. The tea room is like a family of its own. It's just like any other family. It has its share of dysfunction. But, you know, when you take 10 people who make their living off of being hypersensitive and you put half of them any given day in a room together, you know there's going to be bound to be issues, you know.
But, right.
Yeah, I always tell people, especially when I get, like, reporters and stuff or TV people, I always say the real story about the tea room isn't the people that come here. It's the people that work here, trust me, you know. The other thing is, this is, you're probably going to laugh at this and yet, you know, say, what? But I always tell people, show me a complete mess and I'll show you a good psychic, you know, because, you know, psychics, I think in order to do the work we do, we have other blocks in our life, you know, or we have to go through a lot in order to help others because we have to go through it ourselves, you know.
So right. You have to experience it.
Right. No psychic ever has an easy path in life where they just breeze through and everything good happens to them. I mean, every psychic, I think all of us, you know, even the day my abilities came to me was the day that my father was buried. I was 13. I passed out in the church, and when I woke up, I could feel everyone else's emotions except my own, you know. So, yeah, I think that we all of us find our abilities through some type of tough path, you know. So that's why I always say that, you know, when I'll hire someone and someone will say, what are they like? I said, they're completely crazy. They'll fit in with the rest of us, you know. And that's what I say. You know? The crazier they are in the interview, the more I know I'm going to like them.
And how about a lot of people think, you know, we got it easy because, you know, we know what's coming. And, you know, we got the answer. I don't know about you, but myself and, you know, the majority of everybody else that I've spoken with can't read for ourselves. Our gifts aren't meant for ourselves personally.
When I try to use them or benefit from them other than doing readings for people, it always has some kind of weird result. Like when I do play the numbers, I don't know how these two other psychics that work for me hit so much. They hit the numbers a lot. I play them always one number off. I can never beat four numbers off, just one. And it's kind of like the universe, saying, ha ha, you know, so I can't, like, read my own future. Tarot, I always tell people, tarot was a great tool of self-discovery, especially when I'm teaching and I tell them that. But I say, it's when it was made to be a tool of self-discovery, it was made to help you understand the now. It was never made for you to understand or predict your own future, and people don't get that, you know.
No, they don't.
But, yeah, I sometimes have had psychic things, but I've never connected the dots till afterwards. So I don't know if we have time. I'll tell you one story really quick.
Yeah, we did. Go ahead.
I had a dream about a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in many years. This was about 5 or 6 years ago. And I had a dream about a friend of mine I hadn't seen in about maybe 10, 15 years. And in the dream, he was holding a human heart that was dripping with blood and beating. And I'm saying, well, I hope he's not saying he ripped out my heart, because if I remember correctly, it was the other way around. But his name was Michael, you know. And the next day, my brother Michael had a heart attack. Yeah, but I never connected that together, you know.
Right. Well, you weren't supposed to, because that's something that, you know.
But that's how they made the
stop and prevent it, and you wouldn't have been able to.
But yet they showed me this old Michael with a human heart in his hand. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what is that supposed to mean? Like, what am I, Uncle Rebus, you know? I mean, I have to put it together, you know. Can't you just give me a plain message, you know?
No.
I'll tell you one story, though, where I did get a pretty direct message. I was thinking about giving it all up once, you know. Maybe I'm on the wrong path. Maybe I should be a paralegal, whatever, right? So I took, like, a vacation, so to speak, and I was in New Hampshire in a very mountainous area. It was beautiful. You could see the stars. I'm a city kid, so anytime I could see the millions of stars at night was fun for me, you know.
Right.
And I said, it was August, and it was the middle of the Perseid meteor shower, and I said, I want to sign for the universe that I'm doing the right thing, and I won't accept a shooting star because, you know, I know there's a meteor shower tonight. So I'm looking at the sky, because nothing happened. I don't know what I thought was going to happen. Was the sun going to come out or whatever? So I sat on this hill for a while, and I started to walk back to where I was staying, and it was a dirt road, and it followed the trucking route. So sometimes when a truck was too heavy for the highway, they'd have to go down this dirt road. So in the middle of nowhere, it seemed, this big 18-wheeler starts coming down the road. I literally have to run out of the way because there's no street lights in New Hampshire in the middle of, you know, nowhere.
Right.
And so I run out of the way, and the truck goes by, and he blows his horn the whole bit, you know, just like on TV. And then he drives by me, and I see on the side of the truck it says three letters, G-O-D, with periods, you know. And then I look at the back of the truck after it goes by me, and it says guaranteed overnight delivery, you know.
Oh, that's great.
So I took that as a sign. Maybe I read too much into it, but that was my sign to go back to what I was doing. Because, you know? I said, I want a sign right now, and I don't want it to be a shooting star, you know.
Right, right.
It was almost like I wanted the universe to not comply.
You got it.
Yeah.
That's about as clear as it gets. Without just getting smacked over the head.
Exactly, yeah. It's weird.
Well, we have to call it a night, Alex.
Well, I had so much fun.
Oh, so did I. You're terrific. I want to let the listeners know, next week, my guest is going to be Mary Greer. She is...
Wow!
Yes. She is returning. She was on prior to the holidays in December, but I was unable to host the show because of my son's school concert. So she is honoring me and coming back next Thursday night so that it's her and I doing
the
show.
Mary Kay Greer is like the Bill Clinton of the tarot world. I mean.
I know. How cool is that, right?
Yeah, I don't know why I used him. That may not be what I wanted to say. Maybe I wanted to say Mary Kay Greer is like the goddess of the tarot world.
Yeah. Well, we got to call it a night.
Okay,
I want to thank the listeners for tuning in at themixtalk.com. If you missed any of the show or just want to have it again, you can go in a couple days over to themixtalk.com. Past shows, Tara by Misha, and you can get tonight's show downloaded, and the last couple weeks if you've missed them. I'll see you all next week. Have a great one. Good night.